Wednesday makes you think, what in the world we got this big old building for? Then you come in Sunday, it's like, well, we need to get a new building. No, it's good to have everyone here and our visitors as well. We appreciate you all coming. Pray the Lord bless you today. Just worship God any way that you know how. That's really why we came here for. I don't really worry too much about what people think or believe. If you love the Lord, that's good. That's what we need. And if you love him, you just want to love him more. And if you love him more, then you just want to love him a little bit more. Because really, you just can never love him like you should. And we always want to grow closer to the Lord. So just real quick, I want to, Brother Ernie sent me about he's been teaching. You can go read the email, I guess. I'll just give you a little bit about in the Philippines there. There's been a lot of need for people that don't have a lot. And he's trained them to take two little pigs and be able to, like, live off of it, is what he told me. So he's shown them how to do that. So we sent him an offering here recently, and he's been using that to help those people with that and teaching them how to pretty much live off a little bit. And I said, Lord, help us. Amen. Help us to be more frugal with what we have. My goodness, I just thought, man, I blew that. I could have used that a little bit better, you know. Right. When you begin to realize that everything you have really ain't yours. It was given to you. And God, make us better stewards of what God has given us. Amen. Not even just the natural things, but that does reflect on how you treat the spiritual things. It goes hand in hand, you know. And just keep them in prayer, though. I thought that was really good. He seemed real appreciative of what we were able to send him. And those of you that give the missions, God bless you richly for doing so. I got it posted out there. You can go read it. But in Lima, Brother Craig Brewer's church, they got some meetings coming up. If you'd like to go out and visit, I'll probably be there on Friday night. Supporting the work there, so go check that out. Let's get into our Bibles this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, if you have them. If you don't, just listen closely. Probably should have told y'all to bring pen and paper today, because I got a lot of scriptures, but we'll see how the Lord leads. I try not to bring too much of my own. I want him to take the preeminence. Ephesians 1, verse 8. We're going to continue on going back to Ephesus. This is part 3 today, so let's read verse 8. The first 7 verses I preached on, I haven't hit everything. I'll probably go back a little bit, but if you want to listen to the service from last Sunday, it'll probably help you out a lot for today's. Verse 8, we'll start reading there. Speaking of Christ now, it says, "Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are both in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom we have also obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." Turn over to chapter 3 now. I'm going to read a few verses here. Starting at verse 1. "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation," people tell me they don't believe in revelation, you don't believe the Bible then, because Paul said, "how that by revelation he may know it unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Again, people tell me there ain't no prophets. What are you talking about? The Bible just said that there were prophets that brought this word to the people. Verse 6, "that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." I'd like to preach this morning, God's mystery is the message. God's mystery is the message. Let's bow our heads together. As we approach his word, everyone reverence before his presence. How many would have a need you'd like to lift up to the Lord? To raise hands and say, God, I have need from you today. I'm not looking to Brother Andrew. I'm not looking to someone else. I need a need from you because my need's too big for me. God bless each one. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we approach your word, we're grateful to know that you promised you'd be with us all the way to the end of the world. And you said if two or three of us would gather together and in your name, you'd be here, Lord, and we believe that. And I'm glad to be in a group of people that know that you're still alive, that you did die for us 2,000 years ago, but that wasn't the end of the story. 3 days later, you rose again, and you told us in the book of Revelation that you are alive forevermore, Lord. And we believe that this afternoon. I pray, Father, that the Spirit of God would have the preeminence, Lord. That the words that I would speak, that my mouth would say, it would not be me, but Lord, it would be your Spirit that could speak. Lord, the power of God might be shown alive, that people wouldn't have to guess that God was here today, but they would see that your anointing is still with your people. Oh, we know the end is coming soon. I pray that our hearts be pure, our hearts be clean, our hearts be washed, and our hearts be filled with your Spirit. Ready for the day that you would take us home. Let it not catch us off guard, knowing that it'll catch most of the world. But Father, you said there was a little remnant that was saved by the election of God. We pray that this group that's here, that each one of them would hear their voice called out by you, repent of anything that they've done wrong, and receive the Spirit, be ready for the rapture to come. Commit the service to your hand. Heal those that are sick. Save those that are lost. Help those that need help. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You hear something good, feel free to say amen. God does something for you, feel free to praise him. People think you're disrupting the preacher when you do that. No, you ain't. You're disrupting me when you don't do anything. Then I go thinking, is anybody hearing me today? Does anybody receiving from the word? But when you begin to feed off the word and a response comes out from your soul, that's when it makes it easy to preach. And you know, oh wow, I got about three people's attention right now, it seems like. How many came to hear from God? Well, then, Paul, in the Word of God, I tell you, I've never seen God fail just yet. If you come believing, I don't expect God to do anything if you don't believe it. But if you believe it, he'll meet his end of the bargain every time. Because that's what's so awesome about our God. Every other person that you find in the world, every other company, all 100% guarantee until it's yours. Then all of a sudden, the guarantee don't work. But the Word of God isn't that way. When God says something, it's eternal. Which means it never started, it never ended, he never changed his mind about it. It's always true. Hallelujah. So as we read this, I want to preach this. God's mystery is the message. And many people get scared when you say things like there's a mystery in God, that it should be simple. That's why it's a mystery. It's too simple for most people to understand. They want some big God that just, isn't that what happened to the one man he wanted healed? He had leprosy, about to die. And he said, what was it? I think it was the prophet Elisha came to him and said, you see that river over there? You got leprosy, you're dying. Here's how you're going to get well. Go dump in it 7 times. And if you read the story right, he got mad. He said, what is this? I've heard these great things about this God that parted the Red Sea, this God that made a blind man see, this God that raised a dead man out of a tomb 4 days dead. Where's that God? Oh, the one that wants me to go dump in some water? I thought he'd come down and just thunder the voice of God and say, you're healed, Naaman. Isn't that what he said? He said he was angry. Yes. It didn't just say he was a little displeased. He said he was furious. I bet he was red in the face and says, what is this nonsense? Amen. You might have came the same way this morning. I hope you did it. I hope if you're looking for God, you realize he doesn't always come in big flashing light bulbs and things and lightning bolts coming down. That's Zeus. That's the God. But this God is Jesus Christ. He's the man that walked on earth, and they so didn't recognize him that they would hit him. They would so not recognize that was Almighty God made flesh that they would kill him. And people are surprised that they're doing the same in this day. God comes in a way that if you're not spiritually minded, you will miss him and you will persecute him. Because it's in man. It's in a fallen man to resist God. Have you caught that yet? Has anybody received? Even you that are Christians, if you get out of the presence of God, what happens? You fight the will of God every time. That's why we needed to get born again. Our first birth wasn't no good. We needed another birth from heaven. And Naaman, as he got angry about that, one of his servants came over and said, hey, buddy, hey, calm down. Wait, let's just try it. How about you just go try it? You see that river, Jordan? I know it's dirty. How many of you would go dump in the river, Maumee 7 times? Yeah, let's bring it to context now, isn't that right? I bet he said it was this dirty, rotten way. Isn't there a better river somewhere? He says, just go try it once. Guess what? He said, fine. Went down there. All right, done in 7 minutes. He could even stop 3 into it and said, you know what? I don't care about it anymore. Guess what? He wouldn't have got healed. Thus saith the Lord, already said he'd be healed, but since he didn't, if he wouldn't obey the word, he never would have got healed. That's why people have such a hard time with the message. Brother Branham would say, thus saith the Lord, you're well, but if the people didn't believe it, they don't get well. Don't blame the prophet, blame yourself. Blame your own faith. And don't blame the word of God right now. How many knows that the word said every disease is healed? Right now. He said he died for all of our diseases. So right now, every sick person is healed by the word of God. Why are people still walking around sick? Is they don't believe it. Because the Bible's pretty plain. Without faith, you cannot please God. Naaman went down there, though. He sucked up his pride. He said, I know I'm this great ruler, but you know what? I'm going to die here. I might as well try it. And that's why you find people that resist the will of God is because they don't realize that sin is actually killing them. They think, oh, I'm good enough, you know. You know, I'm all right. You know, I'm a pretty good person most of the time, unless you cut me wrong. Then I'm kind of mean. But, you know, if you'll be honest with yourself, you realize that that's you. Even after you converted, that was you before you were. You got to realize, no. I need help. I'm not going to make this on my own. But aren't you glad that there was somebody there to help you all the way? It was the great God of heaven who looked down on us and saw that we were sinners, saw that we were going to die, but he didn't just let us die. He said, fine, I will come save you. And even Naaman, as we just finished that story, that wasn't in my notes at all. I hope that's okay this morning. He went down there, he dunked 7 times, got back up, and look, leprosy's gone. God always fulfills his end of the word, doesn't he? Amen. So, extra thirsty today for some reason. Maybe it's this coat. Probably should take this off. Ephesians 1:8, let's read that again. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Is God's will a mystery? Well, the Bible just told you it was. God's will, what he really desires, you have to actually know who he is. Because you can look at even me right now. You can see my actions right now. You said, I picked this up. Why did I do that, though? None of you know because you don't know me well enough. Now, the Almighty knows. I just wanted to pick it up. That's why. I don't have any deep, dark reason. Look how simple that was if you knew me. And when you see the things of God, they look so complicated to people. Why would God do it that way? Why did God pick this man? Why would he pick Moses knowing that he would run away from the commission of God for 40 years? Why did he pick Paul, a man that killed Christians, to be the apostle to go save them?
Right.
Why would God do that? Look, you didn't realize. You're trying to understand God by knowledge, and you never can. You have to meet him by experience. And once you do, the mystery of his will. Look what Paul said here. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. So there is a group of people who aren't, it's not a mystery to them.
Amen.
They know what it's all about. They know what God wants. And that's only the elect of God.
Sure.
Saying, prove that by the Bible. Well, Jesus said that. Let me just even turn there. Just listen closely. Jesus says this. Matthew 13:10. And the disciples came and asked of him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And what are parables? Stories that you have to interpret to figure out what they're even about.
Right.
They're just stories that have symbols and you don't know nothing about it until the person that told the story tells you. And the disciples came to him and said, Jesus, we know you're the Son of God. We know you're coming to save the world. Why are you confusing everybody?
Sure.
Did I hit home just yet? Why do you say there's this prophet and all these things in this message? Why are you just confusing me? Why can't I just go the way that all these other churches are? That I just believe that Jesus is Son of God, that's good enough. That I can just be a good person, pay my tithes, go to church, that's good enough. Why are you making it so confusing? We're not. It's the only way.
Amen.
Jesus' parables were for a reason. He'll tell you right here. I'll read it to you. And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you.
Right.
There's the grace of God, is it? It wasn't you earned this. You learned this. You did so many great things. I thought I can trust you with it. So no, this is given to you.
Amen.
And if you give something, it's a gift. And if you have to do anything to get it, it's not a given anymore. It was earned.
Right.
He said, I'm giving you this. Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. people got this perception of Jesus, don't they? Oh, he just loved everybody. Yes, he did. But if they didn't love him back, his love didn't last too long, because now he's going to come back and have to judge them. Hope you heard me now. The same people that he loved and died on the cross were the same ones he had turned around and say, but you're of your father the devil, and his works you'll do, and you're going to hell. That was the same man. Don't look. You can't just pick what you want and leave out what you don't. If you don't accept all the word of God, take the book, and I hope this isn't sacrilegious, just throw in the trash can, because it ain't going to do you no good. Right. Until you can sell out your will, you'll never receive God's will. Because as long as you're trying to figure it out, it will always be a mystery. But if one day you can realize, I need God to do this. I need to die that he can be raised in me.
Amen.
I need to be Calvary myself and have a crucifixion to where Andrew Crustle no longer is alive, but Christ now lives. And whatever Andrew Crustle wants, it doesn't get done. It's what the will of the Father is what gets done.
Yes.
And that's why God could fill Jesus with all of his spirit, because he always did what pleased the Father.
That's right. Amen.
Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundantly.
Right.
But whosoever hath not, what is that election? You either have it, either you were in the mind of God, either you are a part of God, or you were not.
Right.
People want to blame that on God. No, sir. He knew what you'd do with it.
Right.
What good would it have done to give the Holy Ghost to Judas knowing what he would do with it?
Sure.
That's why he never got up there. Because God don't give the Holy Ghost just to anybody. He gives it to those that will receive his word.
Amen.
Or else you get a prophet like Balaam.
Sure.
Who has the power of God. He's got a gift of God. Who can prophesy. But he sells out for money.
Right.
Sells out for popularity. Sells out for a nice position. And what happens to his gift? It becomes worthless.
Yes. Right.
Let me keep reading what Jesus says here. He says, therefore speak I to them in parables, because... because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and ye shall not perceive. For this people's heart, now you found the problem. God can be standing, and he is right now. I know you might not all understand this, but we are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus right here at this moment. And depending on your spiritual attitude, you will either stay in Defiance, Ohio, in this little four-walled building going, what are all these crazy people doing here? Or you can raise up and realize angels stand at the post of duty watching over the children of God. They are not only watching there, they're waiting for you to say for what their orders are.
Right.
Say, what is that bunch of nonsense? A son of God has all power and authority.
That's right.
How many knows that man was made a son of God? That's what it said, Adam. He was the son of God.
Right.
And we all came from Adam? I hope so. You might be a beast if you didn't. We all came from him. Those that are born again in the Spirit of God, you are a son of God. And as we can read in the book of Hebrews, preached on that the Son had power over all the angels. That God never said he gave all his authority to angels. He never said that, but he said to the Son, thy throne is forever and ever.
Amen.
A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom.
Amen.
Let me keep reading here. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they sing. Sorry, I already read that. Verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their eyes are dull. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. See, it's not God doing it. Their heart they've turned off and say, nope, God. Not letting you move on my heart. See, that's why people don't want to get born again. If you understand, there ain't no dried-eye confession when you get born again.
Nope.
There ain't nobody that just dies peacefully if they're sane and got their right mind. They try to fight to live.
Amen.
And if you really need to die to get Christ, you're going to have to fight. You know who you're going to have to fight? The guy you look at in the mirror every day. He'll rise up and says, no, I don't want to give it to God. I want to lust after women.
That's right.
Sure. I want a worldly girl that doesn't love God, because it appeases my flesh. And we could go on and on and on, down the list of other things. But that has to die.
Amen.
And this heart has to break down. And you can't just do that. You can't put it on. It's got to be God moving on this end as you move on this end. And it comes together. And that's how you produce a new birth.
Amen.
For these people's hearts is wax growth. God will come down in the spirit in a service. And you can feel it. He'll be. And if there's anybody that's not right with God, God will not let you sit there comfortable.
Amen.
But you have two choices. One is to run. Say, nope, don't care. Just hurry up, dismiss, let me get out of here, because you can feel that convicting power. The other one is to repent and to let that Spirit of God that you think's condemning you turn around and save you. Why does God let you get convicted? Because he knows what sin will do to you if you don't repent of it. He knows that it will kill you.
Amen.
Because when sin's brought forth, it ends up in death every time. Say, prove that to me. The first time they tried to sin in the garden, what started happening from that moment on? Everything started dying.
Sure.
To where even the sons, all these things, they're all falling apart. Because when God did it the first time, and I love how God does things. It was perfect, and it was all connected. It was all one. So the second you broke a little chain, you just took the whole thing off. Can you show that in some? Yeah, in your body. Isn't that right? You just take one little thing off, and before you know it, your head hurts, your back hurts, your legs hurt. Everything hurts because it's all connected. It's all one. And it's the same in the body of Christ. Why do you think when we have services and y'all missing service for whatever reason? I ain't just saying that for Wednesday. I mean in general. When y'all miss, you can feel it because it's a body, the body of Christ. As the body is one and many members, so is Christ.
Amen.
His church is his body, and every member has to find its place. Why are we still groaning? Why are we still here? Somebody's not in it.
Amen.
Something's not there to move the cogs of the body of Christ just right. But that don't mean we ain't going to get nothing done.
Right.
Because I'm a part of the body, and if there's this much God, that's enough to wipe out the devil anytime, any place, anywhere.
Amen.
We ain't living no dry time. I'm tired of hearing that stuff. Oh, God, it's just a dry time. You know, we're just waiting for him to come around. Look, there ain't no dry times in the Bible to the elect of God.
Amen.
When all Israel turned their back on God and everybody was dying on every side, Jeremiah stood up and could still hear from God.
Sure could. Amen.
All those prophets could too. Even when Elijah thought, I'm the only one left, he said, no, Elijah, calm down. 7,000 down there still believe what you're preaching.
Amen.
Say, well, I don't know them. You don't need to, Elijah. I know them.
Amen.
I'm the one that really counts around this place. Having made known unto them the mystery of his will.
Sure.
Let me show you how important this is. Jesus, let me read down here. It says, for verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things that you hear, and have not heard them.
Amen.
Jesus, what is he telling us right there? This mystery. Remember, we're talking about God's mystery. Not man's mystery. Not when man makes it confusing. When God has a mystery, it means that it has to be revealed by God, or you'll never see it just right.
Right.
It'll never hit just right. I hope you're hearing me today. I hope you're hearing God today is actually what I'm hoping. When he speaks a mystery, it's only a mystery because the heart of the people is not right. Their eyes, they are closing on their own will. Their ears, they are muffing up by their own distractions. You say, how can you do that? Jesus already told us, the pride of life.
Sure.
The love of the world. The love of the things of the world. The distractions, the cares of this life are enough to destroy your experience with God.
Sure.
Isn't that right? Might get mad at me, but I didn't say that. He did. Let me just read that out of Mark real quick. It says, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parable. So this mystery that we're speaking of, that we're saying is the message of this hour, I'm telling you right now, it's one and the same. I can preach the message of the hour without quoting Brother Branham. I mean, I'm not going to throw away the quote. You better know, sir, without him, we never would have known, but now I can see it.
Sure.
Because of what the prophet brought. It's right there in the Word. You look up the word mystery, it does not show up in the Old Testament. Not once. Before we become a cult, because everything's for crazy, I want you to tell you right now, this mystery Paul had.
Amen.
He just said, having made known unto us, and us would include Paul. This was already given in the Old Testament, in the New Testament church. It was the mystery given.
Amen.
But here's the thing that happened, and that's why it's so important. That's why Brother Branham talks about it all the time, is denominationalism came into that, and it destroyed the truth of it.
Right.
To make it, instead of you having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and not just that cliche thing, I mean a real relationship with God, that he's just as real as Brother Kent sitting right there.
Amen.
I talk to him, and he talks back to me.
Yes, amen.
I don't sit here and imagine a bunch of stuff. God is so real. If you'd only be able to get your eyes open, you'd realize he's everywhere.
Amen.
At all times. The reason you breathe is because of him.
Amen.
The reason your heart beats is because of him. The reason you have any desire to do something right is because of God.
Amen.
Because a man left to his own devices is worse than any animal that's ever hit the earth.
Sure.
Now let's go through the scriptures here. I want to show you this mystery. Over and over and over again. Romans 11:25. And if you can't get it all down, you can't flip there fast enough, that's fine. Please listen to what the Word's got to say. If you don't get it today, get the tape, write them down, and you see if this isn't the truth or not. Romans 11:25 says this. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. I'll show you again. This is the mystery he was talking about in the book of Ephesus. It's the same thing. Ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. What is this mystery to? It is to the Gentiles.
Amen.
It is a mystery contained in the salvation of the Gentiles. Israel never understood that. That's why it was so mysterious to them. That's why even when the apostles, before they got the Holy Ghost, said, will you now restore the kingdom to Israel?
Sure.
And he said, you don't even know the time or the seasons for this, because that's about to happen now.
Right.
And they were asking about it over 2,000 years ago. No, about 2,000 years ago. He said, no, you're missing the point of what I'm trying to say. I'm not restoring that kingdom. I'm restoring the kingdom of God. He was very plain. The kingdom of God, it's not over there. It's not over here. It's not this group. It's not this church. Don't make it that.
Right.
So the kingdom of God is within you.
That's right. Amen.
Now it brings it down to you and God, doesn't it? Now it brings it down to you can't blame a church that you can't hear from God. You can't blame a pastor because you don't think he's spiritual enough. You can't blame the other people in church because they distracted you. No, it's between you and God.
Sure, amen.
You don't hear from God, it's your fault.
That's right.
And chances are, if you'll go back far enough, you'll find that one time where you said, okay, devil, I'll accept that thought. I'll just think about lunch.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that just hit me, I guess. I'll just think about work. I'm not going to worry about this right now. I won't weigh that this moment could change my eternal destination. I won't weigh that this moment could change my physical condition. And this thing that I've been fighting with for 20 years can stop tonight.
Amen.
Or today, rather. Ignorant of this mystery, that blindness in part has happened to Israel for a purpose until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Do you see how much power there is behind that? Why is God letting this all happen to the Jews? He's already told us. They're blind. They haven't received Christ just yet. Even when their own highest reverent rabbi, I mean, he was like 120 years old, said, here's the Messiah's name. It's Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Why are they still beating around the bush about it? Because the fullness of the Gentiles hasn't come in. This mystery is still not fulfilled.
Amen.
Oh, it's going to be glorious. If you can catch what this is today, I'm going to tell you right now, the devil can never defeat you.
Amen.
Never. Anytime.
Amen.
If you can catch what this mystery is and what was restored back to us.
Amen.
Romans 16. Verse 25. Now to him that has a power to establish you according to my gospel. I told you right now that the message of Brother Branham and the message of Paul was the exact same. And people are going to think, Paul? If they would live in Paul's day, do you understand they would do the same thing to him that they're doing to the prophet now?
Right.
He said, establish according to your gospel? This is God's gospel. Who was it given to? It was given to Paul.
Uh-huh.
Say, no, it was given to Peter. No, you missed something. The mystery was given to Paul.
Amen.
How do you know that? That's why Peter couldn't figure it out. At least within his memory. Remember he said, you're eating with Jews like Jews, when eating like Gentiles with Gentiles, and you're being partial, Peter. Why are you doing that? Don't you understand that we can't bear this burden that's been given? He was still trying. Why wasn't Paul? Why didn't Paul even worry about that? Because he understood the mystery.
Amen.
Mystery wasn't to the Gentiles or to the Jews. It was to the Gentiles. Hallelujah.
And
he was our messenger for this. Now, according to him, establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. Hate to break it to anyone that hates the word revelation, but the bride loves it.
Amen.
It just proved it right there, that this mystery cannot be learned. It cannot be schooled. It cannot be a group.
That's right.
It's an individual revelation from God. And what is a revelation? It is an uncovering. Right now, most of you probably can't see my Bible, but look, I just revealed it to you. There it is. Most of you probably can't figure out what page number I'm at, but now look, I revealed it. It's 1210, Brother Ken. Isn't that right? I revealed it to you. Was it always there? Absolutely. Was this mystery always in God? Yes. And we're going to read more scriptures. It was hidden in God before the foundation of the world, which means it always was. It was always God's will, the mystery of his will, the mystery to the Gentiles, the mystery of salvation. I'm getting ahead of myself. I need to just read these and then start preaching, I guess. 1 Corinthians 2. We're just going to read from verse 1 because I love how this works. And this is the scripture. How many believes the word of God is infallible?
Amen.
Can't be a Christian if you don't. I hate to break it to you. 1 Corinthians 2. We're going to start at verse 1. I'll probably go down, I don't know, until I feel like stopping. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. So right now, he's telling you, I didn't come preaching some fancy thing. I spit all over the place. I stuttered a little bit when I couldn't collect my thoughts just right. I didn't come to you with excellency of speech. I didn't have it all PowerPointed out for you and say, oh, look at this. That's not how I came. Nor did I come with a bunch of wisdom. And look, he's talking about worldly wisdom. He's talking about head knowledge. He's talking about what Satan offers people all the time. He said, I ain't come to you in that. Declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. There's a difference, ain't it? Now, if you stop there, you say, okay, well, that's good. Now, let's keep reading a little bit here. That your faith should not rest or stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. How be it? He just said, I didn't come in fancy wisdom. I didn't come making this a very elegant thing. I didn't come in man's wisdom, but I'm going to come in God's wisdom.
Amen.
Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. This message isn't to somebody who ain't got the Holy Ghost just yet. I hope you understand that. You'll never see it right until you receive the Spirit of God because he's the one that's the revealer.
Amen.
Jesus said it. Jesus himself couldn't give them revelation. The man, remember he said that. He said, Peter, I didn't reveal this to you. My Father, which is in heaven, has shown you this.
Amen.
And when the Spirit of truth has come,
Amen.
He will lead and guide you into all truth.
That's right.
Woo, my, that hit good indeed, didn't it? Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of the world, that comes to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto
our
hearts. Who's that? Oh, you bunch of prideful creatures, you. You bunch of arrogant Christians. I tell you what, you're always isolating yourself from the rest of the world. No, the mystery of God is given to a specific group for their glory. Because what is it? It is God taking his glory and sharing it with himself.
Sure.
That's why this mystery will come together. I got to just read it. I just got to read it. Let's just keep going. Now I'm actually going to let's go on to Ephesians 5, and we're going to start preaching around on this one. Ephesians 5, verse 31. I said before, write it down if you get time. Study it out again when you get time to listen to it. Ephesians 5, 31 says this: For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. You see, the mystery is still unfolding. It's the exact same one all the time. This is Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular love his wife even as himself. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. This is the mystery that we're speaking of. That is the message of the hour. It was Christ before the foundation of the world. The mystery that was hidden within God was that Christ would come. Who is Christ? It is God made flesh.
Amen.
It is God made a man that you can see and handle and taste. And as the Bible says, we've tasted of the word of God, you can eat it. Glory to God. And it ain't being a cannibal either. It's the truth. And this God became flesh, but when he became flesh, it was the same as when Adam became flesh, that he was lonely. That he had a desire for a wife. Oh, I pray you hear me. If you ain't, you're missing the whole message of the hour. You might as well just quit because you don't see the point yet. Right. This is the point of the message. Amen. This mystery unlocked to you and I.
Amen.
That in him was a wife. And in him was a mystery. And in him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light of men. The pillar of fire that was in him. It was light, but it was still the man. It was still God. It's when the divine and the mortal became one.
Amen.
And it's the same today. Because out of him, when he died on the cross, remember, he separated himself.
Yes.
And the pillar of fire that had led him, that was in him without, with all measure, with no split whatsoever. He came back. Jesus rose from the dead. He came to his disciples. And he says, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. What was the power that was coming? The pillar of fire broke itself up. And it went into every believer. That they had the same potentials that he had when he was on earth.
Amen.
That when they see dead people, they aren't afraid. They ain't worried about it. They said, we can call that spirit right back into that body. Because we have the same God living. The same God that gave life can give life back again.
Amen.
And where's he at? I hope you see him, because he lives in my heart. He lives in every believer's heart. He's the same God. What was the mystery? That in Adam, when Adam was formed, he didn't have to go find Eve.
Right.
All he had to do was pull her out. And there she was.
Right.
So much of his own being that he could say, this is flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. I'll call her a woman. Because she was taken from the man. And then God looked down, he didn't see two. He said, they're one flesh. I'll call their name,
Adam.
Both of them, Adam. The mystery hid from the foundation of the world. And we just showed you that even the devil never figured it out.
Right.
The devil's standing right there. The devil's the reason they got tempted and then sinned in the first place. Yet he never figured out what the mystery was until it was too late.
Yeah.
The devil gets revelation. It's just always a couple minutes after he needed to get it. As the Bible says, if they only would have known that killing the Son of God was going to be the absolute worst thing they could have done, they wouldn't have touched him.
That's right.
They would have just kept trying what the devil did. Say, hey, here's all the kingdoms of the earth. You want them? Here's this temptation. Here's that. But you know why they decided to kill him? They ran out of things. He defeated everything the devil brought. And you mean, oh, we're struggling. Oh, it's so difficult. Whoa, whoa. Let's go back to Wednesday. Who are you looking at anyhow?
Amen.
What does Hebrews 12:1 say? Looking unto Jesus.
Yes.
He's two things. The author.
Amen.
And the finisher of our faith.
Amen.
We ain't finishing it. He is. And where is he? He lives in your heart. And if you'll yield yourself to God long enough to realize that you have all power in heaven and earth, you won't walk around, oh, this Christian walks so hard. I'm always fighting the devil. He's already defeated. We're fighting a defeated enemy because the mystery of God has been opened. We don't have to guess for sons of God. Now are we the sons of God.
Amen.
Now we have dominion, just as Adam did, as God said, Adam, take over the earth. He has said the same to us, take over the devil's kingdom, because the kingdom of God has come.
Amen.
The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God has been restored. And I speak as a great mystery, but it's the same as a man and his wife, that they two are one flesh, that they're the same makeup. It's the same now, because when Christ died, his spirit went down, but it rose again, and he broke up his life, and he gave it to every believer.
Yes.
And why did he do that? They were always a part of him.
Amen.
Always a part of him. Can you see it yet? You have to see it individually. You can't expect this to be a group thing. And that's why so many people are leaving the message. They look around and go, I don't see it. I don't see it in you. I don't see it in you. I don't see it. They realize that doesn't matter to you. You need to see it in the mirror. And that's the mirror of God's word. That when John says, now are we the sons of God, he said, yep, that's me. I'm a son of God. How do you prove it? By works. Absolutely. You ain't earning it by works, but you prove it. If you believe something, you'll do it.
Right.
If you believe something, you'll overcome.
Right.
That's why I said to him that overcometh, well, I give thee the tree of life. It wasn't because that they were really overcoming. It's just that it showed that they really believed because he already overcome.
Right.
To him that overcome. And when did you overcome the devil? In Christ. Because in him is all redemption and blessing and power.
Amen.
It's in him, and you never left him if you're born again in the Spirit. He always had you in his being. He always had you in his bosom to where you say, your names are in my hand.
Sure.
And one of these days, I'll pull it out of my bosom and I'll show you. By the breeze. Isn't that right? But I didn't show it. Came around. It was always there. But it was the mystery of his will. What was the mystery of God's will? It really was redemption. It was the cross. It was dying for our ruthless, angry, malicious sinners that we were, taking our place because he could see. Remember, Jesus didn't learn anything. He learned from experience, not by knowledge. He knew all about it. He knew what he was doing the whole time. He said that he knew Jesus was going to betray him. He knew he was going to go to the cross. He knew he had to do these things. And he knew on the palm of his hands were the elect of God. And as we said before, remember the angel, it says that the angel came when he was praying the garden under such agony, knowing that he was going to suffer like no man had ever suffered before. The Bible says that the angel came and strengthened him. And we just read that in Hebrews. It was because of the joy that was set before him. And what was it? The mystery of God's will was put in plain view before him. Though he already knew it. And you and I, sometimes we just need that, don't we?
Amen.
How many knows you've been born again in the Spirit of God?
Amen. Amen.
But then just once in a while, just God come by and let something happen. Show you here. Let me show you one more time.
Right.
There you are in glory.
Amen.
What made John have a screaming fit of praise and worship is when he saw himself already in heaven.
Amen.
Then he said, you know what? I don't really care who came to church today. I don't really care what you think of me. You're already going to think I'm crazy. But I saw myself there. I have the revelation of God's will, and his will was to save me. His will was to redeem me. His will was that none should be lost. No, I couldn't even put my own self out of God's hand.
Amen.
Right. He had such an iron grip on me. Hallelujah. The mystery of God is the message of the hour. Colossians 1. We're going to just keep on. We got a few more scriptures here on this. Colossians 1. Verse 25. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. You see it right there? Why was Paul commissioned? Why was Paul given this? It was for the Gentiles to receive the promise of God. He was sent to the Gentiles. Said, I was given grace for your sake to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints.
Amen.
How much plainer does the Bible need to get? That at Paul's day, they had the same thing we have today.
Amen.
I've even heard it, that they don't believe Paul was an adopted son of God. That was for the end time because then the seals were opened. What did the seals come to do? To erase all the things that all the Nicolaitan doctrine had brought in. That's what the seals did. It exposed that. Paul didn't have to worry about that. It hadn't even started yet.
Right.
He was given the word pure and holy without any disruptions. Amen. Paul had the revelation of the seals were because the seals revealed Christ.
Amen.
To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. I mean, notice he's saying the same message every single time. He said, you Gentiles, look, God has given me grace. I was a persecutor of the church. I killed many Christians. The reason God showed me grace is because he's given me a mystery that I have to get to you or you don't have a chance. But I want to tell you that this was predestinated. For the foundation of the world, it looked out of cater. It really wasn't. God had it perfectly in his mind the whole time what he would do. And I am sent to tell you where are the hidden riches of God.
Amen.
Which are that in Christ, which is where you are now. And if you read Ephesians, you are now seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're already there.
Amen.
I'm here to show you that that was the mystery of God's will, his desire. if you ever catch one time, just even a glimpse, that God's desire was to express his love to you, how could you not love him back? When you think of all the things he could have done, he's the creator of the universe, he's got all power, but what did he want? He wants you. To the point where he would willingly make himself a body, come down and step in flesh, let himself die, that the blood that he shed. Look, your money, you think it's worth a lot, but if you couldn't get nothing with it, it wouldn't mean anything to you. So the money itself doesn't mean anything. It's a means to an end. It's the stuff you want to buy with it. That's what matters to you, doesn't it? If you didn't have to have the money and they'd give it to you anyways, you'd be just as happy, wouldn't you? It doesn't show you it was just a means to an end. Oh, Jesus, show us, Lord. We think the cross was just God, you know, it's a good story. I'll write this down. I'll just send my son down there. No, it was just a means to an end. He saw his children. I mean, the child of God this morning.
Amen.
He saw his children. He said, oh my, I want to spend all eternity with them. And he knew, before the foundation of the world, he didn't learn a thing. He knew what happened. He said, I'm going to let sin exist, but I'm going to watch him fall. But before that even any of that happens, I'm going to do something. I'm going to go ahead and shed my blood for him right now.
Amen.
Because it says that the Lamb of God was slain from the foundation of the world. That's why the blood always covered the believer, even before Jesus got here. Because all that was, as we've talked before, there's an earthly timeline right here. Some of you are hoping that it'll go by a little faster, but we've got time that moves us here, don't we? There's a heavenly clock, absolutely. He says a day is 1,000 years as a day. We said this Wednesday, I'm going to say it again. But above that is the eternal. Above that is no time. Above that is where God doesn't need time at all. And there's when the Word existed.
Amen.
The Word wasn't created. It always was.
Sure.
And if you mirror the Word, you're never covered. I don't know if everybody's just catching it. I understand. It's the mystery of God that before the foundation of the world, God already had his children in him. He already had his bride within him. He already had an earth. He already had a new Jerusalem. He had everything. But what was he really desiring? I don't want to just think about it. I want to feel it. I want to sense it. We think, well, why do we need feelings and things? We were built that way. What good would it do just for me to say I love you and never show you? That doesn't mean I want to feel the love of God. And you can today if you'll just accept it by faith. And say, Lord Jesus, pour out your spirit upon me. I've heard it. I've heard it talked about. They told me this. They said, Brother Branham, that, and all these things. But I need to experience this. You're exactly right. But I'm here to tell you it's a free gift. I'm here to tell you God has already given it back to us. And if you can't see yourself already there, it's time that your heart stop waxing gross. You need to be more sensitive to God. You need to say, Lord Jesus, oh God, I don't want an evil heart of unbelief. I want a heart of faith. That you can show me this mystery. That anymore when the devil comes by, he can say, no, Christ is in me, devil. And when he came, you were defeated every time, every place, everywhere. And even when you try to hand me this sickness, you try to hand me this depression, you try to hand me this addiction, I don't need to take it because I am a son, I am a daughter of God, and you have no authority over me.
Amen.
What does it show you? That the sons of God always were, which means that everything else is below that.
Amen.
And that includes the old rotten devil. That includes your old rotten flesh too. Because before back then, you had a body like his.
Amen.
Before then, we had theophanies that were just word bodies, never had any. And so you understand that body's still there. And he's not packing extra ones. He's got just enough for his elect. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I'm just going to skip over a few of these, but Paul even said that a deacon had to have this mystery. He says he has to be holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. If a deacon didn't have it, he said, you can't be one.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is important to God. And without controversy, great is the mystery. That was 1 Timothy 3:8 and 9. This 1 Timothy 3:16 says this. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. That is always the mystery of God. If God was manifested in angels, we'd all say, oh, that's wonderful. Praise God. God was manifesting some divine thing. Oh, that's glorious. Let God come in flesh one time and people don't pay no attention. They just look the other way. And as it was in Christ's day, it's the same right now. God is walking in flesh. God is walking in the sons and daughters of God. And you rub shoulders with the world every day, but they never recognize that they couldn't be an atheist if they wanted to because they've seen God.
Amen.
But what was fulfilled in them, the same Jesus said, that seeing they can't see.
Right.
Hearing, they hear the same words you and me are hearing. They may have read the same Bible you and me are reading. Hearing, they won't hear unless they had it in their heart. So then they could be converted.
Yeah.
The fact that you've been changed from death unto life should make you the most happy person in the whole world.
Amen.
You really shouldn't have a down day. I mean, I know it sounds tough. I know we have hardships and things of that sort. But really, if you could just get an eye and say, Lord, don't let me ever drop out of heavenly places. Let me just stay up there. Are you allowed to do that? Yes.
Amen.
It's your inheritance.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost given to you is the down payment of all your inheritance.
Right.
And inheritance, you shouldn't be mad or think you don't deserve. You inherited it.
Amen.
It was yours. It had your name written on it the whole time.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Colossians 2:1 says this. The Word of God is so perfect. I absolutely love this. This is Paul speaking again. Look how God directs this. Exactly the word it needed to be. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. You can take that to the bank if you want to, but I believe he was prophesying. Said, I know, I've already been up there in the third heaven. I know what's coming up.
Yes,
I want to talk to those at Laodicea. And look, he even goes into more detail. Look at this. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Anybody seen Paul in the flesh? No. Laodicea was thousands of years away from that their hearts might be comforted. I want them to know. I know it's going to be tough over there. I know it's black. It's going to be black and be. God's already shown me that. But I want their hearts to be comforted in this. Hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance. Full assurance.
Yeah.
Too many people got partial assurance in Christ. Full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. What is the acknowledgement? You have to say, you know what? This is true. I can't understand it. I can't just figure it out. But I'm going to acknowledge that what God said about me is true.
Amen.
And that's the only way you can have full assurance. Because if you put yourself and your salvation just anywhere, it's faltered.
Right.
It's just like sticking a piece of wood right in the middle of concrete and breaking it all. You might think it'll last for a little while, but that ain't going to hold like the way it was supposed to.
Amen.
Because you messed it up. You put something in the foundation that don't need to be there. And we already know what the foundation was. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the revelation of the mystery of God. God became flesh.
Amen.
But you and us, we go back to being sons and daughters of God. Let me keep reading that because it says, knowledge of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. That's kind of hard to suck down as a Trinitarian if you read the next verse here. In whom? In who? Which one? Was it God? Are we talking about the Father? Are we talking about Christ? Who are we talking about? I thought they were different people. Who are we in? He knew that these people in Laodicea would have a revelation. Very few, three different ones. It's all talking about the same God. He's got one name, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Which brings me to my closing point here. Most of you know this verse, turn to Revelation 10. Verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared unto his servants, the prophets. So the mystery of God, was the scripture saying that it started? No. He said he's sending the seventh angel to finish it. And why was it left undone? Because you were a part of it.
Right.
Because it had to go all the way to the last elected seed. And as God, as we know, the angel came down, the mighty angel, the angel of the covenant, he looked, he said, wow. I look at all those redeemed saints coming. This is no new thing to God. He already knew all about it. He said, but way down there, ooh, they're going to need a messenger. They're going to need somebody to bring this truth back. I'll send the seventh angel. And
we'll bring the message of God, and it'll be finished.
Why? Because as the body is one and hath many members, we need to have every member back in the body. And as long as one member is still out of the body, the mystery of God has not been finished yet.
Right.
And then he tells us, I'm not just sending any old angel. I'm not sending a heavenly angel. I'm sending it as I have declared unto my servants, the prophets. I'm sending a prophet. You'll say, there's no Gentile prophet. What do you do with that? What do you do with that? We can go through. We've already shown that it was Elijah. We've already shown how that's fulfilled in this last day. And it's right here amongst us right now. How God opened up the seven thunders to show us that the mystery is now finished. What is the mystery? Christ and the bride.
Amen.
And not the bride. There's this elegant thing right out here. The bride. The bride. The bride. The bride. The bride.
Amen.
I'm going to have to stop there. We're not going to finish this. I'm going to pick this up next week, Lord willing. But I do want to, I'm going to end on this point here that Paul said. This is Ephesians 3:9. We read this when I started. It said, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. You see so many people, and I've even delved into some of this stuff, trying to show, here's the message, discrepancies and the things that are wrong with this and that, and you just feel so bad, and people say, oh, I've left the message. No, can't leave something you never were in.
Amen.
And that's the problem. They made it a denomination. They think it's a denomination. That's the problem. That's why they've never seen what I just showed you right now. God's mystery is this message. The mystery that God had was a fellowship.
Yes.
What is the fellowship of the mystery? You and God are sealed away.
Amen.
There ain't no devil there. There ain't no temptation there. There ain't no evil there. You and God have been sealed away from all the world when he gave you the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The only thing you're having to do is to beat out your old mind and let the mind of Christ, which really comes from the heart. I hope you, the heart is where God's really focused on, because if you get your heart right, your mind will line up. It has to. And you can't make your own heart right, but you have to yield yourself to the man who came, and his name is Christ Jesus. I want, and that's why the ministry is sent. The same thing Paul was sent, any minister is sent, is to make men see the mystery of God.
Amen.
The mystery of the fellowship God desires to have with them. Because the perception, especially in Laodicea, is what? Oh, God's just way out there. Somebody's deserted us. We're all by ourselves. There ain't no revival. There ain't no power no more. It's just a dry. Where's God? Where's God? Where's God? And the message coming around says, no, he's right here. You're looking for the Son of Man. He's right here. He's standing. He's revealed. He's right here amongst you. And people think that Brother Graham was exalting himself. He said, no, it wasn't the seventh angel that had anything to do with this. I was just standing there when he did it.
Amen.
You're not feeding off of me.
Right.
The message is not Brother Graham.
Right.
It wasn't. He never said it was. He said, you're feeding on the body word of the Son of Man.
Amen.
The same God standing there. Who else can know the thoughts of your heart? Tell me, who else knows? You can hide it from your wife.
Sure.
You can hide it from your family. And if you're good enough, you can even hide it from yourself. But you can't hide it from God. You can't. So when you watch the prophet stand there and say, you want to do this, you're going to do this, this is what you need to do, you live in this place, that's not him doing that. He doesn't know any of that. The God that was revealed is the one demonstrating that. And I'm not here looking at a 50-year mirror and say, oh, that was wonderful, that was great. The same God that lived then, the same God that lived in Paul, the same God that's been here since the beginning of time, still stands today, and I have him.
Amen.
I pray you do too. And I'm glad that God has pulled the scales off my eyes. And I can see I wasn't made just for any reason. God wants a fellowship with me.
Amen.
God's desire is to spend not just a weekend, all eternity.
Thank you.
Let's stand together.
Hallelujah.
Psalm 11, oh hallelujah. You don't know it's Psalm 11, but I just want to take a moment as Dad begins to play that song. Let's not look around. Let's not worry about other things for a little while here. My, we spend so much time thinking about everything else. I think we can give Jesus Christ a little preeminence in our lives. And as we bow our heads together, no eyes looking around, I don't want nobody disrespecting one another or God. I want to ask them something here. Say, Brother Andrew, I believe it. I know in my heart there's something here that believes that. But it just seems too far. It seems too hard for me. It seems like I'm confused and I don't understand. I believe I'm saved, but Lord, I want to know. I want a full assurance. As we said, nobody's looking around. Nobody. This isn't between you and them. This is between you and Jesus Christ. You say, God, can today my scales come off? And not just partial. I want a full revelation of the grace of God in my life. And just once more, Lord, can I just feel that presence? Oh, fill me from head to toe. He's waiting on you to say it. I appreciate those that God bless each one. Surrendering your heart to Him. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Oh, I just feel His presence. I believe He's happy with that. I want to bring on God on the scene. Just start loving on Him a little bit. Don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry about lunch or work. Just say, Lord, I love You. I appreciate what You've done for me. You're the same way. You do something nice for somebody, all you want to do is say thanks or something. It just makes you feel good. But think of the grace and mercy shown to you and I. All the time we've taken His money and wasted it on something else. Didn't even pay our tithes. Didn't even give an offering. Didn't even try to support a man that don't even have food. You got to train people to eat pigs. God help us. So selfish. We're just driven in this Laodicean age, but aren't we? You should be happy to know that there's a power even right here. He's here right now. You're not feeding off Brother Andrew. You're not feeding off a church. You're feeding on the presence of the Almighty God. And if there's one soul, I'm going to make this real simple. There's one soul here saying, Lord, I'm not saved. I think I've been saved. I don't know. And I ain't trying to make you doubt. I'm trying to get you to be honest. Say, Lord, can You save my soul today as I yield myself to You? There are many here that would raise your hands to God and say, God, that's me. Change my heart. Make me a real Christian. I'm tired of playing church. I'm tired of worrying about the things of the world. I want to be a sold-out Christian. There's a soul here that's just even doubted. Saying, God, take out of my heart a stony heart of unbelief. Take out of me this doubting character that I am. Oh, God, fill me anew with a heart of faith. Fill me anew with this mystery that's just unlocked to show me that I'm in You, Lord, that I'm not having to conquer by myself. You've already conquered all this for me, Lord. When temptation comes, Lord, I'm here to say, I'm Your soldier. Use this vessel. Destroy the enemy anywhere I go. Hallelujah. God bless each one. God sees your hands. God sees your hearts. God is answering. Hallelujah. Saying, does that mean anything? It is the difference between life and death. It's 5 seconds you can take to just surrender unreservedly to the presence of God. We'll bring on more power from God than any and than a whole life of halfway believing. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, thank You, Father. I'm telling you, God's presence here, I don't know what. He doesn't show me everything. But you can't hide anything from Him right now. If you're a hypocrite, you ain't got much time. If you're living in sin, trying to hide it under the radar, maybe think that God sees it all. It's not time to be worrying about that. It's time to say, God, take it out of me. Wash me clean. Oh, God, give me a new heart for You. Jesus, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. If there's anyone here in need of physical healing, there's enough power here to create a whole nother world. There's a power here that can heal your body. If you want to raise your knee to the Lord, say, God, I'm not gonna pay this disease, this affliction anymore. I thank You for healing me. Because You said You did it when You died on the cross. And I accept it now in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not believing anything the devil's got to say anymore. I'm walking out a well person. Amen. God sees your hands and He's already given it to you. You're well in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh my, I just absolutely love that presence. And to think we're going to spend all heaven in His presence without measure. Oh, thank You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. In this most solemn time, you go ahead and worship and pray any way you feel. I'm going to pray too because I need to be right with God too. I want to love him with all my heart as well. I ain't no big shot. I'm one of you. We're all the same in Christ. There's no big I's, no little U's, no none of that. We're all one and the same. We're all his children. And we all want to be right. We all want to go to heaven. We don't want to go that downward path. God help us not to send ourselves there, because that's the only way we're ever going to get there. Let's just pray together. Oh, Jesus, how we appreciate you. We thank you so much for your presence that's here now. Lord, that loving character that you are, how I appreciate it, Lord. And I thank you for forgiving me, Lord, by the blood, and washing my heart clean and filling me with the Holy Ghost, that I wouldn't desire the things of the world anymore, but I would only desire you. And God, as I see the children of God and they begin to see themselves in the Word, I pray that Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, you don't deter them anymore. But may they have a rock-solid revelation that Paul had that was restored to us in this last day. May they see the truth of their election in God and realize that before the devil even had a chance to fight them, they had already overcome him in you. God, open up our scaly eyes and our hard hearts. May it just all be soft towards you. Say, Jesus, we love you. Thank you, Lord. Let us see ourselves in glory, that when the trials and the winds and the temptations of this life come and try to get us off that path, may we be able to look past that and see ourselves in a place where there ain't no trials, where there ain't no evil no more. There's no jealousy. There's no hatred. There's no envy. There's no pain. There's just a place where we can go with you and just walk down, Lord. I can just see it, Lord, us walking by the river of life. And just talking about how glorious the things you've done for us is. How we think back and see all the wonderful things you did for us. How you saved our children. How you saved us. How you saved our family. How you healed us time and time again. When there was trouble in the family, Lord, you came and you set it right back on the right track. When we were out of money, didn't know what to do, Lord, you showed up and you provided for the bills. When we stepped out in faith and said, I'm going to pay tithes anyways. God, you turned around and you took care of our problem. We stepped out in faith and the doctor tried his best, but he said, you're going to die. There's nothing I can do. We were able to look past the curtain of time to find you, the author of all life, Lord, and you came and you healed us again. I pray that wouldn't just even be in the future, that wouldn't just be in the past, but right here in this service, Lord, may we pull from our inheritance as Christians. So every infirmity in the name of Jesus Christ would be well. Hallelujah, Lord. Every heart here would be encouraged. Lord, that they would be able to praise you, Lord, with everything they are. That they wouldn't look to the things of this life and how terrible things are getting. But they could look and just say, God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Christian friend, it's not time to lay down the axe. It's time to fight with everything that God has given you. Use the word. Take back your possession. There's one soul here who hasn't been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I adjure you, head for the water in faith. Repent of your sins and receive God's Spirit, for there's not much time left. And really, you might be holding every Christian back from the rapture because they're waiting on you to come in. If you have the littlest desire in your heart, would you just yield yourself completely to it? And say, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Lord, we thank you for this meeting. We thank you for the word brought. Pray you bless each one that was here today. Show them this great fellowship that you've given to the sons and daughters of God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen, amen, hallelujah. Now we're just going to worship the Lord a little while here. I know we got some that might be guessing, not exactly sure how things go, but really there ain't no rhyme or reason. It's whatever God wants to do. If you have a need of prayer, I'll be willing to pray with you. You can come forward and we can ask the Lord and believe that he'll entreat for you. But you can talk to him just the same where you are. He's not very far from any of us. You don't need some big fancy prayer. All you need is a little kernel of faith and God will move mountains. And as we sing, just stay in a heart of worship. If you've got to go, I'm just going to let you stay as long as you feel God wants you to be here. And just love on him and appreciate what he's done.
when you feel content with God, don't leave with the need now. Leave with the peace of God in your heart. But you're dismissed if you need to go. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Oh, I just love that prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. You know that song, you can sing it, and I'll sing it to you. Oh, how I love Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, how I love Jesus. Song 8 in the book, but just the chorus. Most of y'all know this. And great.